Today's Shir is Masechta Bava Bas, Bava Metziah, Daf Ein Zayin. We will begin on Daf Ein Zayin on Aleph at the third line. Vamar Rav Haiman da Oga Gorilla Davla. Somebody hired an employee to water his field. Vasamitra. And then it rained. And he therefore doesn't need the employee to water the field. Says the Gemara Pesayda de Baalim. It's the employee's loss. Asanara. But let's say there was a flood, and that's why the water doesn't need to be filled. Then it's pesedet debala bayis. It's the employer's loss, because the rain is something that they should have been aware of. You see that it's raining, so the person who was hired to work on the field when it's rain, to water the field, knows that it's raining, and therefore There's no need for me to come to work, and I shouldn't come to work, and I'm not entitled. But that there was a flood is not something that he is aware of. And therefore, since he's not aware of, he came to work fair and square. But he gets only paid kapoil bottle, as we discussed in our previous year. The definition of kapoil bottle means how much would this employee be prepared to stay home and get a day off, and how much would he be willing to take off from his salary to accomplish that? Continues the Gemara. If somebody hired an employee to water his field, and the way they would normally water the field was that they would make irrigation canals from the river. But what happened was a pasuk nara b'palgadayoma. The river dried up in the middle of the day, and since the river dried up in the middle of the day, now there's no water. So says the Gemara, Eloi over the pasuk, if it's not common that should happen, pesedet de payalim, it's the worker's bad fortune, and therefore they only get paid for what they did. Over the pasuk, however, if it's common that it should dry up in the middle of the day, ibnei masa, if they're people from that city and they were hired with the understanding that that may happen, so then it's say that the problem, it's going to be the worker's loss, labne masam. But if they don't live in that city and they had no way of knowing that this is something that happened, and since they had no way of knowing that this is going to happen, they took the job with the assumption that they will have a full day's work, and therefore, the upside of the bias, it becomes the owner of the field's loss. But again, as we learned a moment ago, he only has to pay them kapoil bottle. And to summarize, that if they're both at the same, that they both were to expect or not expect what happened, then, or in a case where the owner had no way of knowing, but the workers did know that this might happen, the loss is carried by the workers. Only in a case where the employees had no way of knowing that this is going to happen, and the owner knew that this may happen, and he didn't tell them when he hired them, then he has to carry the loss. Tysus points out that this is the second halacha that we've learned in our shir today. In the previous shir halacha, the Gemara did not differentiate if they know or they were to know or not to know. Why not? So Tysus says that in a case where the river is what's watering the field, and they know that they were hired to have these irrigation canals, so they know about this. Rain is not something that they could control. Somebody hired an employee, Vishama Vedita, and he finished his job, the Palga de Yoima, the middle of the day. He was able to finish his job quickly. If the employer has an easier job, Yavlahu, he could ask them to do that job. And of course, the Ritva points out that that's when they were hired for a specific job. So if they were hired for a specific job, he could only ask them to do another job, which is with the condition that it's easier, inami the kavasa, or its equivalent. Mafkad lehu, he could ask them to do that instead of sitting idle. The kashmina, but if the job that he's asking them to do is more difficult than the job that they were hired for, loy mafkad lehum, he cannot ask them to do that, and therefore he can't ask them to do that job. On the other hand, they're prepared to do what they were hired, and since they were prepared to do what they were hired, the halach is, and they were hired for a whole day, noisen lehem shchar mishalim, he has to pay them the entire job. The Tar writes, this is in a case where they weren't shown what the job is. But let's say, before they agreed to whatever contract they've agreed to, they saw that it doesn't take a whole day. It doesn't take a whole day to do the job. And again, we're speaking about honest people. So they really knew that it doesn't take them a whole day to do this job. So they should have told the person who hired them that this won't necessarily take a whole day. And therefore, when they finish working, that they're not entitled to get paid for more than the hours that they worked. The Prisha disagrees. And the Prisha says that if I hire them for a whole day, even though they should have been honest and told me that it doesn't take a whole day to do this, if I told them that I'm hiring them for a whole day and I have to pay them for a whole day. The Ramban says that this halacha is when, again, like when he hired them for a specific job. But if he did not, when he hired them, say that I'm limiting, that I'm only hiring you for this job, and then the job that he asked them to do, they finish, he could give them any job, even a job that's harder than the job that they began. Moreover, the Mordechai says that even if they were hired for a specific job, and our Gemara says that I could only give them to finish the day an easier or an equivalent job, but says the Mordechai, but I don't have such a job available. I only have harder things to do. So the Mordechai says that I could ask them, I could force them, it seems that the Mordechai holds, to do the harder job, but I have to pay them for the fee that a harder job comes with. The Talmidei Rashba disagree. And the Talmidei Rashba's opinion is that if I hire them for a job and they finish the job, yes, I can make them work, so I shouldn't be paying them for nothing, but I cannot, under any circumstances, even for more pay, make them do a harder job. Amai, but ask the Gemara, why do I have to pay them? If I don't have for what they should do for the other half of the day, but I hired them for the day. So the Gemara says, I have to pay them for the whole day. But ask the Gemara, Amai, Lace of Lake Kapoyal Bottle, says the Gemara, why shouldn't I pay them for the amount that they're going home and not working, which deserves a discount? Answers the Gemara, Ki Kamarava, where was Rava speaking about? Bechlushe de Mechuzah, people who carried loads in Mechuzah, the Lay Avdi, if they don't work, chalshi. These are the people that have to be constantly occupied. And if they're not working all the time, then it affects them. And therefore, since it affects them when they don't work all the time, they have to. There's no benefit for them not working. The Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch, Chayshim Mishpat Simin Shin Lamedalit Sif Dalit, quotes that Rosh, says that same halacha is what's going to be a halacha if somebody hired a Rebbe to teach his son, and the son got sick. What's the halacha? So he says, if this is a student that normally doesn't get sick, or on the other hand, the Rebbe knows that this is what could happen, then it's the Rebbe's loss. But if this is a Talmud that has this problem, and the Rebbe has no idea that this is what he's getting into, then the halacha is he has to pay the full salary. Because he says that whoever teaches Torah, he says, is similar to the people who carry baggages. The Gemara says that people who carry baggages have to be constantly working. If they're not constantly working, it affects them. So too, a Talmud Chacham, and included in the definition of a Talmud Chacham, is a person who is teaching Torah, constantly has to be teaching, constantly has to be learning. And therefore, since he constantly has to be teaching and learning, saying, well, I gave you a day off is not an option for Rebbe. The Sefer V'Yosef David quotes the Birkas Eliyahu. The Pasuk says in Parshas Va'era, L'chein Emer L'bnei Yisrael, Ani Hashem, V'tzeisi Eschem Etachas Sivos Mitzrayim, V'tzalti Eschem Avedosam, V'galti Eschem Ezroi Netuyo, B'shvotim Gedoylem, V'lakachti Eschem Li Lo'am, V'yisi Lochem Leloikim. So he explains that after Klai Yisrael were redeemed, were taken out of Mitzrayim, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is immediately going to take them to be Am Hashem. So he explains why was it necessary for it to happen immediately. So he explains, Klai Yisrael and Mitzrayim were accustomed to working hard. And if now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking them out from the civilized Mitzrayim, and they're not going to do anything in that time. So the Gemara just said, the person who is accustomed to always work hard, stopping to work for one moment is extremely detrimental. And here too, the Gemara is teaching us that it's detrimental that they should not be immediately v'yisil chem l'lekim. They should immediately go into work for, they should be immediately put into the position that they have to work. And therefore, since they should be put into the position that they have to work immediately, they should not stop working for one moment. They should right away get back into work. As we discuss here, and we just mentioned the Shulchan Aruch about a Rebbe, there's a very interesting discussion that many Paiskim discuss. If Rebbeim are working in a yeshiva and they're not getting paid, they weren't getting paid or they want better wages, are they allowed to strike? Rav Moshe Sternberg Shlita, in the Shas Chuvas Chuvas Van Hugus, Chelik Bei Simen Tav Samach Aleph, says that a Rebbe is not allowed to walk away from a job. A Rebbe is not a regular worker. And all the halachas that we're learning here about workers don't apply to Rebbes. And the same is the Pesach of Aaron Cutler in the Mishnah's Reb Aaron Chelik Beis, Simon Ayin Aleph. Interesting to point out that Reb Aaron Cutler says that this halacha doesn't only apply to the Rabbeim in the yeshiva, it also applies to the secular studies in the yeshiva. Reb Aaron says, leaving the Talmidim, leaving the students without working, without doing something constructive all the time is extremely detrimental, and therefore they have no right to go and strike. Rav Moshe also has a tshuva about this, Echoshe Mishpat Chelik Aleph, V'Simach Avtes, and he discusses that he, again, says that Rabbeim are not the same as everyone else, but he says two more interesting points. One, he says that in general, we know that somebody who teaches Torah is not allowed to get paid for teaching Torah. All he's entitled to is Schar B'Tayla. Schar B'Tayla means they could have been doing something else. So he says, when in the halachas that an employee is entitled to the employee rights that we discuss in our perek, it's by a regular employee. Somebody who's getting paid just schar b'teila, those halachas do not apply. That's one point that he makes. But the other point that he makes is that we do need that the rabbeim should be paid well, and that the rabbeim should feel that they're able to work in the proper environment and accomplish what they need to accomplish in that environment. And if they're going to be underpaid or not paid, that is detrimental and not constructive for them to be able to accomplish and be able to teach the Talmidim. And therefore, he suggests that if by going on strike for a short amount of time, Rav Moshe writes there in the Tshuva, a day or two, and to make their point that their Talmidim, that they should be able to get what they deserve and what they need, but it should not be for too long. And like that, they'll be able to be more effective Rabbeim. That's something Rav Moshe says he would consider as permissible. Continues the Gemara Amamar. We learned in the Braisa in our previous year that if employees walked away in the middle of the job, what is the employer's obligation? Amamar Shamalem Esmasha also Ketzad. We look at what it will take to finish the job. That even though they were hired, as we learned, for two sela, which is 8 dinarim, and they did half the job, but for me to find employees to finish the job, I'm going to have to pay them 6. I have to pay them, so the Tana, Rabbanan said, I still have to pay them the 4 dinarim. Why? Says the Gemara, because Kosover, it is obviously the opinion of the Rabbanan is Yad Poel El Yona, we always work on the employee's benefit. Oy, the Braisa continued, if they do what they're supposed to do, they'll get paid what they're supposed to. Ask the Gemara Pshita, if they do what they're supposed to do, then of course I have to pay them what I owe them. Says the Gemara Letzricha, what happened here is the Yaka Avarito. After they started working, the price of labor went up. The Imru Hapalim, and the workers backed out. And now the employer convinced them to come back. Manatema, we could think Motza Amrle, that the employees should be allowed to say to him, Kima Fasina Nadata de Mefasan Agra. When you convinced us to come back, it was under the understanding that you're going to pay us more than we originally agreed to. Kamash Milan, so and therefore they should have a claim to get more than they originally contracted for. Kamash Milan teaches us the Gemara, the Amrlu, that they could say that data derachna b'achila v'shtia. He could say, when I tried to convince you to come back, what I meant was I'll give you better benefits, but not that I would owe you better salary. Sela, the Braisa said, if they worked the sela, noislam sela. If they worked half the job, they're entitled to half what they're of the salary, which is if they were entitled to 2 seloim for the whole job, then entitled to 1 selo for half the job. So again, ask the Gemara Pshita, isn't that obvious? Letzricha, the zol avirta miyikara, the price of labor went down. The grinna betfei zuzu, and they only wanted to get paid more. Lepsoif, so but they were only entitled to 1 zuz for this job, but they said, if you want us, you're going to have to pay us 2. The soif ayaka vidita, but then the price of labor went out, the kumbet fezuzo. And what they originally contracted for is now no longer extra, it's what the job is worth. Maritema, we could think that Amrile, that they could tell the employee, tfezuzos amritlan, you agreed to pay us more than the going rate. And now that the going rate went up, we should get paid more. Tvezuzo havlan, kamash malan, who teaches us the Braisa, the Amluhu, he could say to them, Ki Amluhu Tvei Zuzi, where I was willing to give you extra, the Lavakim Luhu, when I wasn't certain what everybody was getting paid. So therefore, I paid you, and I agreed to pay more than I really should have, but I agreed I have to keep it. Hash the Kim Luhu, now you're getting what you agreed. I didn't agree to give you more than that, and even though you think that you always deserve to get paid more than everybody else in your field, I'm not obligated to give to you. Rav Daisa Amar, we learned, disagrees with Rabbanan. Shamlam Esmash Asa Liasis, Ha Yafashish Adonim Noislam Shekel. He says, Rav Daisa says, we have to take into consideration what the employer is losing out, which means, according to Rav Daisa, we now have to consider that If I hire them for two sela, and they walked out in middle, which again, as we said, is 8 dinarim, and they walked out in the middle of the job, and for me to find somebody to finish the job, I won't be able to find somebody for one sela. It's going to cost me 4 dinarim. It's going to cost me 6 dinarim. Who has to bear that loss? The workers. And they'll only get a shekel, which is 2 dinarim. Why? Because obviously, Reb Dais's opinion is, Kesava yad poil al tachtoina, the employer has the upper hand. Oy, Reb Dais continued saying, Yigmer lachtam, let them do the job that they were hired to do, v'yitlu shnei slime, and they'll get 2 slime. Says the Gemara, obviously, if they do what they were contracted to do, I have to keep my word. Lo tzricha, says the Gemara, speaking about a case, the zalavarta, the price of labor went down. Ve'ema balabais, and what happened was, the balabais is walking away from the obligation. Vazal pa'alim, he says, I don't want you anymore, I'm letting you go. Vazal pa'alim, and now the workers come to their boss, or paisu, and ask them to please hold on to them. So says the Gemara, ma'ad tema matza armali, maybe he should be able to say to them, adata de betzir sulay megrayi, that I only agree to hold on to you because I'll pay you less than we agreed upon. Kamash malon, and therefore he shouldn't have to pay them the 2 sela that he agreed to. Kamash malon, that armali, they could say, no, we want our entire salary. Armali, adata de dinala vidish pirta, we only want to get, when we made this agreement, is because we'll do a better job. Sela, if they did the half a job, he has to pay them a sela, which is the salary of half a job. Ask the Gemara, isn't that pshita? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Huna Breda of Nasan Le Tzricha, Dazl Inu, Dazil Inu Gabe Zuzumikara. They were speaking about a case where the workers originally agreed to take a lower salary. They were entitled, they should have taken a zuz more than they agreed to. And at the end, the price that they agreed to is the real price because the cost of labor in general went down. He could say, I hired you because you take less than everyone else. And now that the price, the general price went down, you should get less. But I'll give you less than we agreed to. Kamash Malan. So teaches us the Bryce Darmale that they could say, Ki Amr but Zuza, when do we agree to take a Zuz less than we deserve to Lava Kimloch? Well, we didn't know you. Hash the Kimloch, now that we know who you are, that and now we know that this is the salary, so we want the real salary. That is dalocha. Ask them, is that what Rav said? A worker could walk away even in the middle of the day. You'll say, Shani l'Rav Doiser differentiates between tzchiris l'kablonis, that a worker could work, who's a kablon, that's where Rav Doiser said, yodel tachtoina. But a worker who's getting paid by the day, then he'll agree that yodel al yoina, and therefore he can walk away in the middle of the day. Because E.M. will say that even though Rav is saying that the halacha is like Reb Doisa, but there's going to be a difference between a kablonis, that's where Reb Doisa is going to say that the employer has the upper hand, and by schir yoim, he'll agree with Rav that the employee has the upper hand. Ask the Gemara, Omishanalei, is there a basis to differentiate between these two different types of employees? Tanya, if you hire an employee, the middle of the day, this worker hears that a relative of his passed away, or shechatz achamo gets sick, im sachar, if he's getting paid by the day, he gets paid half of his salary. He worked half a day, he gets paid a half a day. Then kabbalhu, and if he's being paid by the job, he gets paid according to kabbalunas, or how much of the job he has accomplished. So now the Gemara tries to analyze, we had now the machloikis of the Tanakama, the Rabbanon, Rabbi Doisa, whose opinion is this b'raisa following? Ilam Rabbanon, my ear is Shemeis or Shehach Sochama. Why does the b'raisa give us examples that something like this happened? The terrible, he got sick or relative passed away. Kiloi honest nami. Even if there was no such circumstances, didn't we just learn that our Amar Rabbanon, that it is the opinion of the Rabbanon, the Yad Poyla Yoinai, the worker always has the upper hand. El Lav, who must be the Tan of this Braisa? Reb Doisa, the Shemamino. And in this Braisa, we see the Loishonel Leila Reb Doisa. The Reb Doisa does not differentiate Menzchirs like Kablonis. So how are we attempting to use that approach? Answers the Gemara. Omer of Nachman by Yitzchak. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak does differentiate. And he says that a schir yoim, somebody who's paid by the day, yodoy al yoina. And a schir, somebody who's a kablan, is yodoy al tachtoina. This braisa, however, is speaking the dover ovid. It's a dover ovid. And divrei hakol, and everybody will agree when it comes to a dover ovid, everybody agrees that the employee may not just walk out if it's a dover of it. So our Gemara just taught us the poil yoch lachser afil b'chatzay yoim, that an employee could walk out in the middle of the day. And this is a halacha that we already learned earlier in our Masechta on daf yud amud aleph, because the pasuk says that Hashem said kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, and the Gemara says avadai hayim. Lavod v'loy avodim lavodim. So no person could be compelled to work for another person. So although we can't force an employee to finish a day's work, we did, however, begin our perek. We did begin our perek that he has tarumas. If a worker walks out on me, I have a right to be upset with him. And now we also learned that if it's a dover or ovid, then the halacha is very different, and then the employee may not walk out. Says the Ri. The Ri says that when Rav says that an employee could walk out in the middle of the day, in the middle of his contract, it's only if he's not interested in working. But let's say he's walking out because he knows that he could get a better wage. Says the Ri, then he has no right to walk out. And the Brach explains why. He says, because Rav said, avodai haim v'loy avodim l'avodim. You can't force somebody to work. The only one we could force somebody to work for is Hashem. But if this person is willing to work, he just wants to get paid more, he has no right to walk out. Similarly, that's the psak of the Chachm Shloima, that an employee can walk out only if he wants to stop working altogether. But he may not walk out just to use it as leverage to get paid better or to go to a better paid job. The Chavis Yor disagrees. And he says that an employee, al pi halacha, is entitled to walk out in all cases. He says that what Rav means to say is that we are not avodim. The definition of an eved is that I'm completely bound to my employer, and therefore I can't walk out, I can't make any conditions. Here, I'm not in that situation. Here, if I can't walk out, even if I, for better terms, then that means I'm bound to this person, and the halacha does not allow one Jew to be bound to another Jew. We also been learning in our shir how, particularly when it comes to rabbeim, we have to be particularly sensitive. So now the question is, what will be the halacha if somebody is a rebbe and one of his parents is not well, and he wants to quit because he should be able to take care of his parent? What is the halacha? So the Chashuki Chemed discusses it, and he says that it's not so simple. Again, using the Svara that we used earlier, because he says that a Rebbe's salary is not viewed in the same way as everybody else's salary. A Rebbe's salary is viewed as schar b'teila, and therefore the regular halachas of worker walking out doesn't apply. Moreover, and he says that we need to take something into consideration. He says, on one hand, this Rebbe wants to take care of his parents who are not well. On the other hand, we need to think about what's good or not beneficial to the Talmidim who are learning by him, who we have to teach them Torah. He quotes a very interesting question that was asked to Rabbi Yoshev. Rabbi Yoshev was asked by a woman who is a single woman and is a teacher and is anxious to get married, and she wants to be able to take some time off to look for a shidduch. He said, but this woman is a teacher of children, Torah, and that's a real Dover Ovid. And therefore, in a case of Dover Ovid, we just finished learning in the Gemara, that we have to be sensitive. And maybe the halacha will be that she should not be allowed to walk away from a job, even though she has that right. There's also a very important question that he discusses, that if somebody walks off a job, and now Gemara is saying that if it's not a Dover Ovid, you're allowed to walk off a job. But it's, of course, extremely detrimental to the person for whom you are working. And since it's so detrimental for the person for whom you are working, is he allowed to publicize that you're this type of a worker? And it's not so simple, because on one hand, it's Lashon Hara. On the other hand, he's trying to make sure that other people should not have the same bad experience that he had. This discussion that we've been having in our shiur about Rabbeim being different, and we've identified two reasons. One reason is because they don't get paid in the same way as a regular salary. They get paid more in terms of schar b'teila. And the other point that we just quoted Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal, that we need to take into consideration that they're teaching the students Torah. The Sefer Mishpatei Torah has a very interesting discussion. There was a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael that became aware of a menal, of a principal of a yeshiva in America, who's a wonderful, talented individual, and they wanted to hire him to come to live in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim and be the principal of their school. And that's what happened. He came, but the personality of the students in Chutz La'aretz and the students in Eretz Yisrael are not the same. And it's not working out. And the parents and the students all want him to be let go. This person says that, A, I have a contract for 2 years. Two, I did everything that I was supposed to do. The fact that our personalities don't match is nothing that's my fault. Moreover, the job I have in America is no longer available for me. And certainly if I will be let go, it'll ruin my reputation. Here I had this incredible reputation. They brought me from the United States to Eretz Yisrael for this job. And here, 6 months later, I will be let go. On the other hand, the yeshiva, the parents are saying, we have to think about the benefit of the yeshiva. And we also, and even if they could come to agreement, he says, well, you need to pay out my contract. So he discusses this question, and he says that the yeshiva has the obligation, he uses strong words, the yeshiva has the obligation to let him go. Why? Because the first obligation that a yeshiva has is to do what's best for the Talmidim of the yeshiva. And what's best for the Talmidim of this yeshiva is that this principal should no longer be the principal in that school. But now, the other question. What about severance pay. He says that there isn't, under normal circumstances, we should certainly pay this individual severance pay. There wouldn't be any question that we should pay him severance pay. Here he points out, however, that the conversation is much more complicated. And the reason why the conversation is much more complicated, because it's not a business and a business money, somebody's private money. It's stock of money. And we have to be so sensitive and so careful with stock of money. And if according to the halacha, this person is not entitled to severance because he didn't live up to what he was supposed to do, then the halacha is that the yeshiva can't just be generous and offer severance that he's not entitled to. Continues the Gemara we learned in the Mishnah. Kol Mishana, Yodol Techtoina, whoever changes the terms, as we discussed, we spoke about the person who didn't dye the wool properly, Yodol Techtoina, Kol Chayzabayin, whoever walks out, Yodol Techtoina. Bishlama, says the Gemara, the din that the Mishnah taught us, that Kol HaMishana Yodol Techtoina, the Sosolam Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, is teaching us what we learned in Masechta Baba Kama and Daf Kuf, that Rabbi Yehuda, where somebody didn't dye the wool the right color, is going to be entitled to the lower amount, the expense or the amount that the wool went up in value. Ella Kol HaChayzba Yodol Techtoina L'Suya Mai, Lav L'Suya Poyel, to teach us that a worker, even a Sechir Yoim, is in a weaker position. And that's what Reb Daisa says, and he doesn't give preferential treatment to the Poyel. But we learned that the Gemara has been suggesting that even Reb Daisa agrees that a Sechir Yoim is given preferential treatment. Answers the Gemara, Al Reb Daisa Tati Kama. Reb Daisa said two halachas. One, he says, is that Yodal Tachtoina, Poyel Yodal Tachtoina, by all type of workers, whether it's a Sechir Yoim or Kablin. Rav Sovala Kavasei Bechada, and he agreed with Reb Daisa by a Kablin, Vologlai Bechada, but he disagrees with him when he speaks about Sechir Yoim, there he doesn't agree with Reb Daisa. The Gemara has another way of explaining what the Mishnah meant when it said, Kol HaChayzbay Yadol Tachtoina. He says that the Mishnah, the Gemara is suggesting that the Mishnah is not referring here to employer employees. In Bayis Eima, Kol HaChayzbay Yadol Tachtoina, L'Kritanyas, coming to teach us the halacha that we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Kol HaChayzbay Ketzet, Harei Shemachas Sodol Chaveir Belov Zuz. I sold you a property for 1,000 Zuz. V'Nasolayim Mas Mehem, and the buyer, the buyer gave me 200 of the 1,000. So the halacha is, if the seller backs out, yad lekeich al yoyna, the buyer is in the stronger position. The buyer could say, give me back the $200. The $200 that I gave you, I don't want money, I want a piece of property, and from where, not only is he entitled to get that property, from which property is he entitled to? From the best property in this that he had, that the seller has. On the other hand, which is what is always most attractive, if it's the buyer who backs out, then either he could tell him, take your money, or he could tell him, I'm not giving you money. I'm going to give you property equal to the amount of money you gave me. And what type of property will I give you? From the weakest property. That whoever has such a situation that the buys property and they don't have the ability to pay what they owe, they should make something that they shouldn't back out. Ketzat kaisvloi. The seller tells the buyer, "I need plenty machati, plenty belzus. I sold you this property for $1,000. Menaslam miman saimzus, and you gave me $200, and the rest of the money is now a loan. for any noish b'em shemayna meizos, you owe me $800. Kana, in that case, the deal has been consummated. Neither of them could back out. Or machzlos ishar, and he pays him the difference. Afilach kamshanim. He now owes him $800. So the way the buyer protects that he will get the property is by making it a loan that he'll pay out. Amamar mechem magbiyoi. The Tanakama said that if the seller backs out and he gives him property, he gives him minayidjis. Kusal kadatach, minayidjis in the chosuf. From the best of his property, says the Gemara. But why is he entitled to that? Laye balchayv. Shouldn't this not be any different than if I owe somebody money? And we've learned that balchayv collects beinanis. And as we've learned, really a balchayv midaraisa is only entitled to zaburius. But because Chazal were concerned that people won't want to lend money, they upgraded it to beinanis. But why does he get idjis? But are the Yavzuzi? There's the carpet for which he paid. So why should I have to give him different property that wasn't even part of this deal? Answers the Gemara, you're right. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Me'idyas Sheba, when we speak about giving him property, so if it's the seller who backed out, he has to give him the best of this piece of property, the best that's within this piece of property equal to the amount of money he gave me. And when the buyer backs out, and I give him property, I give him the worst part of the property equivalent to the amount he gave me. Even I have to give him, when the seller backs out, I have to give him the best. If I'm paying him in real estate, I have to give him the best that I have. Because somebody who buys property, that's a very expensive $1,000 property, the person sold off a lot of assets to be able to accumulate 1,000 zuz. And now I'm backing out of the deal. And therefore, this person who's backing out of the deal is a mazik. And this person who's suffering is a nizik. And we learned the Masech Bava Kama, when you pay somebody who was damaged, you pay him idjis. Shem Gamaliel taught us, we learned, we set up the transaction in a way that he can't back out. Bought the entire property, and the balance is a loan, says the Gemara, only tam de kasle hachi, because the transaction was recorded that way. Haloi Kasav Hachi, had the transaction not been recorded that way, Loikani, then he doesn't become the owner of the property. But ask the Gemara Vatanya, doesn't the Braisa teach us Hanoisin Iravan Lechaveri? If somebody puts up a security to prevent the two parties from being able to back out of a deal, Amalai, and the buyer says, Imani Chayzer, if I back out, Avoni Machalach, this security becomes yours. Valo Omer, and the seller says, Imani Chayzabi, if I back out, Echbalach Avoncha, not only will I have to give you back the security, I'm going to have to double it. Neskaima Tanoim, Divrei Rabbi Yossi, these are stipulations that should be honored. Rabbi Yossi Tameh, why does Rabbi Yossi say this? Going back to a concept that we've discussed, Asmach Tekanya, even though they both entered into this deal, assuming that it will never have to happen, doesn't make a difference. They only have to pay the amount of the equal to the security. When is that? That I will get a share through giving the Erevin, the security. If I sold you a property for 1,000 zuz and you gave me nasla chamesuz, kana, you own the entire property. So this is not a security. This is our case. Machzlos ishar, afilach kamashanim. So we see of Shimon Gamaliel's opinion is that even if they did not turn the loan into a malva, it happens automatically. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Hodka'el for Nafika Zuzi, when the seller is asking the buyer, give me the money you owe me. So he's showing that he only sold the property because he needs money. So if I don't get the money, I'm not interested in selling. But if the seller is not that desperate for the money, so if he's not that desperate for the money, so he could, on such an individual, we could say that what was his point in doing this deal? His point in doing this deal was only to make a deal. And whatever is not paid will be a loan. Ha Dama Rava, the loy kaya of Nafika says, Dama Rava, says Rava, Hai man de zovem midil chavri, if I sell you something, the kaya of Nafika says, and it's obvious that I sold it because I am in need of cash, loy kani, it's not consummated until I get the entire money that I'm looking for. Loy kaya of Nafika says, but if I'm not that desperate for the money, then as soon as I get even the deposit, the deal is a deal, and the balance is a loan. Vamarova, Hayman, the Oisvei saw Meir Zuz L'Chavri, somebody who lent somebody else 100 Zuz, or Pare Zuz Zuz, and he pays back one Zuz at a time, Peron Hava, it's considered legitimate payment. And as the Rosh says, I can't say, I don't want to be paid one Zuz at a time. If that's the way he's paying me, I have to accept it. El de Islay Terumus Kabay, I could have complaint. Domle of Seduna Minoy, when somebody gets paid in such a fashion, when somebody gets paid such a fashion, then the halacha is that he's going to lose the money because he gets a dollar at a time and he spends it and then he didn't get paid back. But he can't say, I don't want it. But it's interesting, the Ramah in Chayshe Mishpat, Simon Ayin Dalet, Sif Dalet, says regarding this halacha, that this halacha that I have to accept payment in any way that it's offered is only when I'm being prepaid. But in a case, says the Ramah, when I'm being paid after the money is due, once I'm being paid after the money is due, I could demand that I be paid in full and not be paid piecemeal.